Welcome, welcome to Freaked Out with your co-hosts, Liz and Landon.
What's up, everybody? Well, guys, our podcast will explore the life, death, and legacy of the iconic Judy Garland. So join us today as we delve into the highs and the lows of Garland's tumultuous life, from her early stardom as a Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz to her struggles with addiction and her mental health.
We will also discuss her marriages, including her troubled relationship with Sid Luft and Vincent Minnelli. In addition, we will address the controversial topic of Garland's blackface moment, explaining the context in which it occurred and its impact on her career and reputation.
Through in-depth discussions, interviews, and insights aims to shed light on the complexity of Judy Garland's life and the enduring fascination she continues to hold for audiences around the world.
Obviously, I grew up on Wizard of Oz, as most of us have. I mean, at least people that were born 30 plus years ago. I was definitely fascinated with her work, and we were excited to talk about her and her life. And don't be surprised if she chimes in as we carry through this episode. She is quite the character.
Yes, I do know the Wizard of Oz. I was definitely not a big fan of that.
What reason behind it do you not have that love for Wizard of Oz?
I just don't like it. It's creeped.
Okay.
I just get terrible feelings every time I watch it.
Interesting. We'll mention that a little later too, because I think I'll talk about my own experience on that as well. Thank you for your input.
Now, Judy Garland was born Frances Ethel Gumm on June 10th, 1922 in Grand Rapids, Minnesota. She had a vibrant and challenging early childhood and changed her name from Frances Ethel Gumm to Judy Garland, because Frances Ethel Gumm is not really a stardom name, you know?
She hated the name. She says she often was teased about it. Frances Ethel Gumm. Kids would often ask if they could chew her, especially the boys. She hated the boys in school. She couldn't understand how many women would grow up and marry such evil creatures.
From a young age, she displayed a natural talent for singing and performing, often entertaining her family and her friends.
One thing she could say about herself is that she truly loved performing. Everyone would, like, stop, and they would pay attention to everything she was doing. She felt like she was meant to do it. She never felt like she was born to do anything else but perform, and she wasn't going to go out until she did.
Growing up in a show business family with her parents running a local theater, Judy was exposed to the world of entertainment at a young age. She began performing on stage with her two older sisters as part of the Gumm Sisters act, showcasing her exceptional singing voice and her great stage presence.
She laughs at remembering those moments and how hideous the costumes were, but she said her mother did her absolute best. She keeps showing me tinfoil or some sort of tinfoil coloring she was not interested in. And yes, again, still attached to that stupid Gumm name. She hated every single bit of it, but she knew that her sisters weren't as interested as she was, and she felt like they couldn't keep up with her. They would often get very annoyed by performing any sort of anything, which made her annoyed because she always had to rely on them as well, and she felt, like, very frustrated. She would often say she was going to be the biggest star. She obsessed heavily over celebrities and stardom.
Now, despite her talent and passion for performing, Judy faced many struggles during her early childhood, including her parents' troubled marriage, their financial instability. Her mother's ambition for Judy to succeed in show business often placed a great deal of pressure on Judy, leading to the tumultuous relationship between mother and daughter.
Now, she shows me that although her and her mother had some issues throughout their relationship, she wasn't angry with her mother. Her mother and her just often had different views on how to go about pushing forward with her career. And because her mother had great experience, she thought her ideas would be best for Judy, and Judy disagreed quite often. The fighting between the two of them was absolutely outrageous, and she could not handle it anymore. She would often run away from the fighting because the two of them were so bad. It affected her in the sense of performance, and she was not interested in having a bad performance. She often felt bad and had bad experiences, when it came to performing at the time, and of course, her parents' marriage was extremely toxic. She says she would blame her mother for that a lot, but at times she grew up and, you know, even after death, realized that her mother was fighting for her, and she regrets having such distaste for her mother when she was alive.
Well, nevertheless, Judy's early experiences in show business helped her develop the resilience and determination that would later propel her into stardom. Through hard work and perseverance, she eventually caught the attention of Louis B. Mayer, the head of MGM Studios, who signed her to a contract at the age of 13.
She shows me she was dressed in her best clothes, her hair was curled. She knew that if they just saw her just once, they would love her. And that is exactly what happened. She said she was so excited to come aboard the studio set. She thought she was dreaming. She had never lost sight of her goals. And although the turmoil was going on behind the background, she really never stopped, even once.
It was from this point onwards that Judy Garland's career took off, leading her to the iconic roles in films such as The Wizard of Oz and cementing her status as one of the greatest entertainers of all time. Despite the challenges she faced during her early childhood, Judy's talent, drive, and determination ultimately made her a household name and beloved figure in the world of entertainment.
Now, although Wizard of Oz was a beautiful moment for her, there was a lot of creepy, spooky, tragic things that took place behind the scenes, and she never expected this movie to even go anywhere. She felt incredibly special to be a part of such a big thing at such a young age, but it was really creepy. And you know what? I get that vibe as well from her movie. Me watching it back, watching the way they treated, you know, the little people, even with the actors. I think one of them had also died. There was some sort of poisoning that took place with the paint he was using. I'm not sure if that's the one that died or not. I don't have all the details, but I remember learning all this when I was really young. Yes.
The paint from the Tin Man caused him to get cancer and die. There was asbestos on the set. When, you know, they made it snow and stuff like that, that was asbestos, which is cancer causing, as we know now. Like, there was just a lot of things that they did to make this movie, but it cost a lot of people's lives.
Gotcha. That gives me the heebie-jeebies for sure as well. But I mean, they managed to pull it off one way or another.
But just looking at Judy is what gave me the heebie-jeebies. I feel like things happen to her and you can feel that when you are a victim of abuse in certain ways, whether it be mental, physical, or sexual abuse, you just automatically can feel that off of somebody.
Interesting. We're going to talk about that a little bit later as well.
Now, Judy Garland had a significant and memorable experience working on The Wizard of Oz. She was only 16 years old when she was cast as Dorothy in the film and quickly became one of her most enduring roles. Garland worked tirelessly on the set, rehearsing her musical numbers and delivering a heartfelt performance that captured the hearts of the audiences worldwide.
It truly did. She was definitely before her time in a sense when it came to her talent and how the world saw her. She shows me she put every single ounce of herself into her career, and clearly it shows.
Now, despite her success in the role, Garland struggled with the demands of filming The Wizard of Oz. She faced immense pressure from the studio executives and directors who pushed her to meet their high expectations. Garland also had to deal with the physical challenges of wearing heavy costumes and makeup, as well as enduring long hours on set.
Which would be hard for a 16-year-old, but she also shows me that although it was a hard adjustment for her, she didn't care about what she had to do. She just knew she had to do it. She thought that it wasn't going to be difficult, but she shows me that she wanted, you know, to do it no matter what. She said that there was something that took place and what happened to her on the set of Wizard of Oz. And since everyone is opening up about these things now, she wanted to come forward and communicate about it now.
What would Judy like to talk about?
Now, she does show me she was just a young girl, and I believe this was a little bit prior to her actually being on The Wizard of Oz, and also throughout the movie being filmed, she was molested by one of the producers. She was also raped by one of the producers. She shows me that although this place was truly, meant for her. She communicated with her sister about it, and they were confused and didn't quite understand why this would take place. She really never communicated about this with anyone else, but she shows me it made her feel hopeless throughout her journey on The Wizard of Oz. And although she had to wear heavy makeup and items like that, she pretended that those were the bigger issues, but when in reality, it was the molestation and rape situation that took place.
I mean, honestly, it does not surprise me. You know, like I said, you could just feel it when you are a victim of that. And also, as we are diving into all this stuff, many, many kids in Hollywood have all dealt with this type of abuse. So she's definitely not alone. Obviously, she was at the frontier end of it. It was at the beginning. And kids are still, to this day, dealing with that kind of stuff. Now, in addition to The Wizard of Oz, Judy Garland appeared in numerous other films throughout her career, including classics such as Meet Me in St. Louis and A Star is Born. Garland's performance in these films showcased her immense talent as a singer and an actress, earning her critical acclaim and a loyal fan following.
Now, she shows me that Meet Me in St. Louis was probably the most exciting, exhilarating movie of her life. She loved her directors. She loved the cast. She loved everyone. She shows me that there is something that she felt comfortable and confident with when it came to this movie, and it shines through, and she did have a wonderful performance.
Overall, Judy Garland's experience with The Wizard of Oz and her other film roles were marked by both triumphants and challenges through it all. Garland's talent and resilience shone through, leaving behind a lasting legacy in the world of entertainment.
Now we're going to start moving into the relationship side of things. She was rolling her eyes because she never truly felt love. Well, at least, you know, she's a little bit embarrassed about some of these marriages.
Judy Garland was married a total of 5 times throughout her life, and each marriage brought its own set of challenges and struggles.
Oh yeah, it's interesting because all of these things she's been through in her life, including the addiction and the controversy, which we will get into a little bit, but this is also part of that and a lot of what she has shame with.
Now, her first marriage was to composer David Rose in 1941. She was just the ripe old age of 19. The marriage only lasted a year, and Garland later admitted that she had been pressured into it by MGM Studios when she was under contract with them at the time.
Again, this is completely accurate. The marriage was awful. She shows me he was so cold, and I'm pretty sure that this was one of the men that sexually abused her as well, and also raped her. So this marriage was disconnected from the start. And it was a sham to make it look more appealing. She shows me she spent a lot of time puking and pretending to be sick so she wouldn't even have to look at him or touch him. She was so grossed out by this husband the entire time.
I don't blame you there. Now, her second marriage was to director Vincent Minnelli in 1945, and they had a daughter together, Liza Minnelli. However, their marriage was tumultuous, with Garland struggling with her mental health and addiction issues. She was often in and out of rehab during this time, which put a strain on their relationship, and then they ultimately divorced in 1951.
At this point, she wanted to be a mom. She wanted to see if having a child would fulfill her like it did for so many other women. And she wanted to work with that. And from when Liza was actually born, her heart stopped. And seeing her little baby girl was her pride and joy. She truly loved being a mother to her. And although she feels like she let her daughter down very early on, she knew that her daughter would sparkle like she did. Now, she is incredibly proud of her accomplishments and loves her so deeply. She is truly excited that Liza was able to surpass her own mental health problems and use these things for good. She truly wished that she was more like her daughter, and she absolutely loves how attached she is to the LGBTQ community. She has become an iconic figure, and it makes her so happy. Even her husband wasn't the worst. Although the addiction issues were pretty heavy at this point in her life with her husband, she shows me that he at least tried. He was probably one of the better options. He tried to help her, but she was totally checked out at this time, and she feels like she messed up with being a mom and a wife, and she couldn't simply handle the pressure. He wouldn't look at her properly anymore, and that really devastated her.
Now, Garland's third marriage was to Sidney Luft in 1952, with whom she had 2 children with, Lorna and Joey Luft. This marriage was also fraught with issues, including financial troubles, and Garland continued to struggle with her addiction, and they ultimately ended in divorce in 1965.
This is the marriage that everyone focused heavily on, and she says that she loved him so much. He was the one that she thought was truly her soulmate, and she used to blame him for changing and not being who she thought he was. They even have a movie about it or a documentary about it. If you want to go, take a watch. But she shows me she blames herself heavily for this relationship. Although she didn't feel that way at the time, she still truly loves him, and I believe that's actually who she's with now. She shows me that he was like the oil and water type of relationship, and she said she would do it again because she loved him that much.
Now, her fourth marriage was to actor Mark Harron in 1965, and it was a short-lived and ended in divorce just after only 5 months.
She claims he had been drunk the entire relationship, and when she sobered up for a brief moment, she realized he was just a complete sleazeball, had no interest in being with him. She ran like the wind. She also shows me that he may have cheated on her a few times, and although she was looking for comfort through this relationship, he was definitely a rebound marriage. She says this guy is a complete and utter piece of shit, and she says that he still bothers her to this day.
Now, finally, Garland married her fifth and final husband, Mickey Deans, in 1969. Their marriage was also troubled, with Dean often serving as Garland's manager and enabler to her addiction. Tragically, Garland passed away just 3 months after marrying Dean due to an accidental drug overdose, which I don't think was an accident.
She hates to admit this. She enjoyed him because she was, like, you know, you said, enabled by him. He would never complain or bitch about anything that she was doing. She wanted him to just mind his own damn business and to let her do her own thing. She put that out there pretty early on in the relationship. It was rather embarrassing, though, because she said she was messing up really badly at this point. She used to be a functioning addict. Sadly, that stopped happening. She truly was over it. She also shows me that a lot of the reason she was drinking and taking drugs was because she was trying to overcome the emotional trauma. She had to deal with it some way. And she had to deal with it at a young age, and she just kept, you know, keeping it inside and festering. So eventually, it wasn't really truly helping her anymore, at least the drugs and addiction. He just let her do it. And he was like, that's fine. Take as many drugs as you want.
Well, I mean, it sounds like she knew what she was doing and found a method that worked for her, even though it was kind of, you know, killing her slowly every day.
Yeah, I would agree with you. But you know what? I'm thinking, I agree with you on that as well, with the husband having a huge impact on it. Although she might not necessarily be addressing it, but I feel that. I'm feeling like he probably looked at her like, no, you're a waste of space now. You're better off dead. You're worth more money dead, you know?
It makes me feel like the whole Simon Monajak and Brittany Murphy situation. That's what I feel like.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Now, Judy Garland's blackface moment is a controversial episode in her career that has been the subject of much debate and criticism. Now, in 1963, Garland appeared in an episode of the Judy Garland Show where she performed in blackface, a practice that was widely considered offensive and racially insensitive, which I agree to that.
So insensitive, and people still to this day do this bullshit. Like, guys, stop. The incident occurred during a sketch where Garland was dressed as a Civil War era slave, like as if she could even relate to that, and performed with a duet with her guest Mickey Rooney, who was also in blackface. God, it just gets worse and worse, you know? The use of the blackface is a practice with a long history of perpetuating racial stereotypes and dehumanizing black people, which is very fucking true. Now, Garland's participate in this sketch was met with backlash from both critics and the public.
Which, I mean, hello, obviously the public's going to come after you, you know? Now, in the years following this incident, Garland continued to face scrutiny and backlash for her involvement in the blackface sketch. Many critics viewed it as a blight on her legacy and a reflection of the systematic racism prevalent in Hollywood at the time. Despite her immense talent and popularity, Garland's reputation was tarnished by this incident, and it became a defining moment in her career that she struggled to overcome, which, I mean, obviously, when you're doing something like that.
Now, she was heavily medicating herself at the time as well, and she wasn't using her brain. Now, she shows me she thought it would be funny. She didn't understand the concept of what it was going to do. She was completely ignorant. She owns that. She shows me that this idea had been brought originally by one of the writers on her show, but she decided it was fabulous and a way to make people laugh, not realizing the implications of this to the Black culture and other people in general. She'd also stated that this was what happened to her and basically the cancel culture for her generation. She shows me she deserved it. And she said she deserved actually much more to be lost. She says that if this happened nowadays, it wouldn't even have mattered. There would have been a heavier repercussion. She says that anyone who does receive repercussions to this as well deserves it. She wants the community to understand that she takes full responsibility of that. She uses zero excuses. She has been humbled by the experience. She's glad that she educated herself on the matter after the fact. She just wants us all to know that it is not okay. And she hopes that one day they, meaning anyone that is offended by this situation, can forgive her. She understands why they won't, and that's okay, and she says she deserves all the hatred for it. She worked with many African Americans, and she feels like she let them all down. She just wants her friends and coworkers to truly know she is very apologetic and truly saddened by the situation. She says she deserves much more of a punishment, and she feels as though she should have received legal ramifications. And perhaps she should have handled it and addressed it instead of hiding from what she had. And she had a lot of regret about that, too.
Well, overall, it sounds like Judy Garland's blackface moment serves as a stark reminder of the harmful impacts of perpetuating racist stereotypes in popular culture. It continues to be a controversial topic that people shed light on, and need for more awareness and sensitivity around these issues of race and representation of different races and ethnic backgrounds in the media. And I'm glad that she wanted to talk about it and address it.
She did. I didn't even know this was a thing, if I'm totally honest. I feel like she brushed it away over the years. A lot of people brushed it under the rug, you know. Nobody educated themselves. I didn't even know this was a thing. So for me, I'm glad I got to learn about it as well for her aspect. And to be honest, I already told her this. If I had known this prior to picking her, I probably wouldn't have chose her. But because she was so forthcoming with taking accountability, I decided to go forward and do it anyway.
Absolutely, because we do not tolerate no racism here on this page in any way, shape, or form. Now, the iconic actress and singer tragically passed away on June 22, 1969, at the age of 47. The official cause of death was ruled an accident overdose of barbiturates, which she had been taking for many years to combat insomnia and anxiety. However, her death has been the subject of much speculation in the conspiracy theories over the years. You know what's really funny? A lot of women in Hollywood seem to die due to barbiturates.
Yeah, you know what's crazier? When Matthew Perry was a child, they give him barbiturates to calm him down.
They do it to everybody. It's so crazy.
I blame them for all these addictions that are hanging around now. You know, not that they knew any better, but like, come on. God damn.
You would think Marilyn Monroe, Julie Garland, Brittany Murphy, like there's so many people. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah. Now she shows me that this was obviously a heavy force in the matter, but she also shows me that there were little bits of medication of other things as well. Perhaps maybe cocaine, there was alcohol involved, there was many different drug intake. She was popping pills like fucking candy.
Now, one of the most popular conspiracy theories surrounding Judy Garland's death is that she was intentionally murdered. Now, some believe that her overdose was not accidental, but rather orchestrated by individuals who stood to gain from her demise, such as members of the entertainment industry or even her own management team. There have been allegations of sinister motives and foul play, but no concrete evidence has ever been presented to support these claims. And I believe this as well. I believe her husband was the ringleader in this.
Right. He was the one sent, like, hey, like, so, you need to kill her off because she's killing us over here. She is a problem. We need to keep that name sharp. We don't need any more problems. So I think he was like, oh, honey, you want to self-medicate here? Take 15, take 20. You know what? I know. Take 25. It's okay. I definitely feel that way as well. Another suggestion is that Garland's death was actually a suicide rather than an accidental overdose, and it is known that she struggled a lot with mental health, which we all do, honestly. However, those close to Garland have denied this theory, stating that she was not suicidal and had plans for her future. I don't believe that either. I definitely feel that although dude was putting those drugs into her system, I also feel like she was definitely suicidal. People can pretend to be happy.
The happiest people alive are usually the saddest. Now, despite the various conspiracy theories surrounding Judy Garland's death, the official ruling of accidental overdose remains the most widely accepted explanation. Her passing was a tragic loss for the entertainment industry and her millions of fans around the world. Judy Garland's legacy continues to live on through her timeless performances and enduring influence in the world of music and film. Now, what did she have to tell us about her death?
She actually enjoys this aspect, ironically, the moment of her death. More so just because, you know, the conspiracy's always flying around and every single celebrity that dies, there's always a conspiracy around it. She understands why people think that she was murdered. And as we sit here communicating with her, she's also come to the conclusion like, shit, they did want me out. They did want me to stop. They wanted me to stop doing this. She died at 47. Those drugs were put into her body, but she was so far gone in her mind, like she didn't give a shit anymore. So she had crossed that boundary. So yes, in her mind, she committed suicide. She was doing it on purpose, but also the industry killed her too. So it's like a combination murder. She was doing it and so were they.
Well, I do thank you for clearing all that up with her. Is there anything else that Judy would like to share with us or her fans at all today?
She truly loves them. She often shows signs to them like ruby slippers, glitter. Anything Wizard of Oz related, she will show her fans those signs, especially those that truly loved the Wizard of Oz. She also tells me that she is doing well, and ironically enough, she's actually in show business up there. She plans to make a comeback one day. She wants to be able to spend some time with her kids, especially Liza. She feels like she really let her down, and she felt like Liza really needed a proper mother. She never gave her that, and she needed to, and she often feels like Liza Minnelli doesn't, you know, feel like she was ever loved by her mom. She also spends a lot of time with Lucille Ball. The two of them hang out often together, which reminds me of, you know, these older women sitting on a porch judging people as they pass by. They truly like to talk a lot. And they were also considered the scandalous starlets, you know. She also wanted me to mention as well that Illuminati was a thing back then when she was in her career, but she had simply no interest in joining. But back in the day, the Illuminati is not what it is today. It was just a club congratulating everyone for being so rich and so famous. All these other aspects came in and around the early to late 90s to 2000s. She did not like the controlled lifestyle, so she basically told them to go fuck themselves.
Well, that does not surprise me at all, and we do appreciate her coming and giving her fans a little bit of an update. Thank you for that. Thank you for listening today, guys. Now, until next time, guys, stay freaked out.